This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 9th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington, Illinois. Well, USDA released its latest world agricultural and supply and demand estimates this morning. It put the soybean carryout at a whopping 555 million bushels. That's the largest on record, up 50 million from last month. The corn number down 25 million, but that's not nearly so dramatic. You'll still hear the same figure when that number gets bandied around at 2.4 billion bushels. It's actually now 2.401 billion. I spoke with Darrell Good about 10 o'clock this morning to get his impression of the USDA numbers and a few other items. We'll hear about half of that interview today, and the rest we'll get as feature stories tomorrow or early next week. The whole thing, by the way, runs just shy of 9 minutes. You can hear it unedited on our website at willuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. We'll post it by about 3 o'clock this afternoon and try to make sure there is a direct link in our weekend newsletter, which, by the way, you can subscribe to right there on our website. We have a busy program, so let's get started with this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 363 and a quarter, up 6.5 cents today. May futures at 374 and three quarters were up 6 as well. Kansas City wheat at 433 and three quarters, up 7 on the day. In Chicago, the corn finished up 4.25 cents for the nearby March contract at 225 and a half. The May, 236 and a quarter, up 4 and a quarter. In July, futures 244 and three quarters were up 4.5 cents. December corn up 4 and a quarter, 260 and three quarters, the settlement price. March soybeans, 587 and three quarters. They were up 9 and three quarters today. The May futures, 10.5 cents higher at 601 and three quarters. And July at 610 and a quarter, up 7 and three quarters. November beans, 11 cents higher at 625. March bean meal, 1.5 cents or up a 140 for the day, rather, at 181.60. The March bean oil at 22.65. They were up 50 for the day from the Mercantile Exchange. Feeder cattle finished 87.5 cents higher in the March at 108.85, and the Feb live cattle at 92.25 were up 52.5 cents. February lean hogs at 57.62.5 finished 27.5 cents higher for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A little later in the program, we'll be joined, we hope, by our Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. His name, of course, is Dave Dickey. On hand with us, though, in Pledge Central, should be. The station manager. In fact, he is there. Hi.
Reliable.
Jay Pierce.
How are you, Todd?
I'm very good. Hey, there's a number we'd like people to call. We'll do this very quickly because we have a lot of ground to cover today.
217-244-9455. We are 16, only 16 pledges away from meeting Chuck and Rennie Ehlers' challenge for $400 as soon as we hear from 50 agriculture supporters this week at 217-244-9455. And I want to point out, they will add $400 to their already generous support for WILL's ag programming. They want you to do it too. You know how much in those 33 that have already called in, Todd? You know how much money has been generated by their contributions? Over $3,000.
Wow.
That's how it adds up.
Great. That is magnificent. Almost $100 a pop. We really like to hear that. That's just about where we like to be. Mm-hmm. And if you can call in with your pledge of financial support right now, it would be magnificent. We'll check back in with you just a little bit later. Okay, Jay?
Got it.
Thanks much. Jay Pierce, of course, the station manager here. He's urging you to dial in right now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for this radio station and the ag programming that you hear each and every business day of the week, including concluding our conversations with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Kind of an interesting day. 50 million bushels was the increase to 555 million for the carryout for the soybeans. And in the face of, I think, what is the number one record carryout for beans, they rallied today. Why?
The market is looking ahead of the current inventory levels. It's been doing that now basically for a month or so. Placing its bets that supply-demand tables will tighten over time. Something's going to come along and tighten them or raise worries enough that prices need to go higher to ensure that supplies will be available in the future. So, that's the way I take a read on it, is they're looking down the road. I suppose a lot of it is spillover strength, I think, from corn and wheat. I mean, that's where all the action's at. Just like I mentioned here 2-3 weeks ago to you, I thought that the bean market and the corn market kind of reversed roles here over the past year, where a year ago it was the soybeans that everybody was kind of fell in love with and was going to go higher, and corn kind of got drug along with it to a limited scale. Now I think you kind of got corn and wheat, wheat's leading the charge, and then corn's following, and then I think beans are being drug along with that updraft.
Interesting, on the U.S. carryover for wheat, it's unchanged at 542 million. But if you look at the global carryover, wheat stocks at 141.96 were down from the 144.7 million metric tons. Just more impetus for the market to move higher?
As long as you've got supplies, supply tightening in the visuals longer term, that's going to provide some underlying support to the wheat complex.
How far can you see wheat rallying?
Well, I mean, the chart is all pointing toward the $4 mark for Chicago. I mean, we're already there in the Kansas City. That's probably, moving on up to the, five and a half. We're going to go to the $4.5 to $5 level. Chicago wheat is, of course, being drug along with that. I mean, all the action is in the hard wheat, and worries about whether or not that drier weather that we see in the southern plains moves its way on up into the northern plains as the year goes on.
I have some questions about this. As I had a conversation with Daryl Good earlier today, we were talking about how the domino effect might play out just a bit, and of course the discussion centered on the idea that if we have the hard red winter wheat rallying, both the soft red and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, that the folks with the spring wheat might plant more acreage, and that would change the balance sheets maybe for corn and soybeans, and then there might be other factors like rainfall that could come back into the hard red winter wheat growing areas after they've maybe, destroyed that crop or something like that, and put sorghum into this mix. So what kind of domino effect can you see, or how do you see all this playing out?
Well, yeah, I mean, that can all play out any which way but loose, I suppose.
Yeah, I know.
But I think that's, that may give you some explanation if you need fundamentally reasoned why the beans rallied today. Maybe we're experiencing, or the trade or the market feels that the worst of the balance sheet is in front of us, and we're going to see supply-demand tightening from this point forward. And what I would say is you got to look at next year's potential. I mean, the balance sheet that I've got traced out for next year shows that there's a potential for bean in stocks to go over the 800 million bushel mark if everything is good. The only thing good about that is that I don't know how it's getting worse. And the market's been talking about a 2 million or more acre increase in soybeans. So, I mean, anybody playing around with balance sheets out in the distant visuals see that the bean market is in pretty bad shape, at least just looking at the raw S&D table. So probably what we're seeing here now is the visual that is about as worse as we can get, and now it's maybe going to start coming in for a little bit. But, these visuals can come in and loosen up and tighten up 2-3 times yet before the growing season's over with. But like I've mentioned before, this is the time of year where the uncertainties of the new crop growing season are the greatest. in this time window, because we don't know what spring weather is. We don't know what the acreage mix are. We don't know whether or not we have an early hurricane season to come in and slam against the Gulf. We don't know a whole bunch of stuff right now. So when you're in this uncertainty window, you can just about, you can work on the fears of the marketplace, and I think this is kind of what's going on here.
And what we do know is that the crop in Argentina and Brazil is pretty good shape, that the rust hasn't had much of an impact, and that if we have a normal crop year, your balance sheets show a really large carryout for beans, probably a large carryout for corn. And the question is, when do you take advantage of the cash prices for new crop sales?
Well, that's the $64 million question, I guess. Farmer marketing is a tough one in here because they've got rising input costs, and while prices are going up, they really haven't offset a lot of these input cost rises, and I think there's going to be a significant bump up in production costs probably for the next year. So I think you've got rising input costs, and you do have rising markets, but when you take into account what new crop prices offer you, given a wider than normal basis for cash forward contracts, nothing really looks real attractive at this point. But seasonally, on average, between now and April 1 or May 1 is kind of offers the better pricing opportunities, and farmers are going to have to kind of size up these opportunities week by week and kind of make their decisions as they go down the road. But for now, I mean, the momentum for corn and wheat is to kind of climb higher here, and then I think like soybeans are catching some of that uplift in here.
So have your finger on the trigger and be ready to pull it, but not just yet.
Well, we've advised starting points. I mean, like most advisory services. Now, some advisory services, I think, may be getting a little carried away, being fairly aggressive on the 06 crop and even talking about 07 and 08 and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that makes me bullish. The more and more I hear about this 07, 08 crop, And like I said, the more I hear about record carryovers and all that kind of stuff, that makes me, kind of feel that the market may be good. But as soon as everybody starts, talking about something else, then you got to be worried. But as long as the general gist of the market is bearish, 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 the market climbs that wall of worry, and that's what we're doing.
We appreciate you being with us today. Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Here's a number that you ought to be dialing right now, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG. Well, time to get a little phone wave going here on the Ag Programming. Jay Pierce in Pledge Central with us to talk about what we've got happening today. And boy, we want those phones to ring. We've got a few to gather before we can collect an extra $400 from Rennie and Chuck Ehler.
Absolutely. We need to get 16 calls in at 217-244-9455. We have people to take your call right now. And okay, you've heard some information. We've got a few minute break going on here, so you're not going to miss anything. Now is the time to call and support this. And another reason is, Chuck and Rennie Ehler think this is such a good deal that we have going here, that it should be encouraged, that it should be preserved, that it should be made even better. And the way that it'll be made even better is with your pledge of support. Make a $100 contribution right now, a $100 subscription to all you get from WILL on the air, online, in person, 217-244-9455. And Todd, we're only $4,400 away from meeting that $40,000 goal that we have. We need to be at $40,000 by the end of the day. We're at $35,586 right now. I would love it if we could get those calls right now, 244-9455. Just $400 pledges, four $100 pledges would put us right at about $4,000, a nice round number.
If you're thinking about pulling that trigger, now's a good time to do it, because the station manager is setting in Pledge Central. He sure would like to hear those phones ring. He's the man who decided we ought to have Ag Programming continue on this station. And he's the reason we're still here at the moment. So it's time now to pick up that phone and thank him and thank the staff here at WILL for bringing ag programming to you. The number is 217-244-9455. Please pick up that phone right now. This is a pretty simple thing to do. You can do it by Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Now, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 217-244-9455. We'll check in again with you a little bit later, Jay. Thanks much. Jay Pierce, of course, your station manager here at WILL. We'll check in with him a bit later. The number to call, 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Thursday morning, February the 9th, the World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimates, or WASD, figures were released by USDA. Extension Ag Economist from the U of I, Daryl Good, joins us now to take a look at those numbers. Tell me, were there any surprises that you found?
I don't think anything would really fall in the category of a surprise. Things did differ a little bit from expectations. In the case of corn, USDA did increase its forecast of domestic processing use of corn by 25 million bushels, upping the expected amount used for ethanol, but did not raise its projection of corn exports for the year. And I think there were some folks that thought, given the recent large export sales of corn, that USDA might raise their forecast from 1.85 to something a bit higher. And certainly, on the same day we got the S&Ds, we got the weekly export sales report, showed another big week of export sales. So I think lingering in the background is the expectation that USDA may eventually have to raise that number a bit. Year-ending stock still projected at 2.4 billion, clearly an adequate supply. In the case of soybeans, USDA lowered its projection of exports by 40 million bushels. I think that's a bit more than what really the market expected, and maybe a bit of a surprise after raising the projection of domestic processing use last month. They knocked that down 10 million bushels, I think reflecting the Census Bureau's December crush report that showed that the domestic crush had slowed quite a bit. So bottom line on soybeans, projected carryover 555 million bushels. In absolute terms, that would be a record year-ending inventory for the U.S. As a percentage of use, that's approaching 20%, which is almost unheard of in the soybean market. So plenty of beans around and apparently will be into the harvest of the new crop.
When we've talked to you, I think the last time we really talked was maybe before Christmas for on-air purposes. Or maybe it was just after Christmas, before the last report in January, where you were thinking that beans were at that point 50 to 70 cents overpriced. And in fact, they dropped at that point. You still think they're overpriced today?
Well, certainly, if you look just strictly at the cash market fundamentals, you would say prospects of 555 million bushel carryover, hard to justify current prices. But we do see strong speculative demand, and speculative demand is real. Whether it's tied to the cash market or not. And I think the real interesting question is what's behind the speculative demand, whether it's partly just this whole inflationary psychology and looking at agricultural commodities as being generally low priced relative to other commodities, so looks like a bargain purchase, or perhaps there is some concern about the 2006 growing season as well. Some folks talking about a developing La Nina weather pattern that may raise the odds of below-trend yields in 2006. And so are the speculators just getting on board kind of early this year, anticipating that we will see a further weather rally at some point. But for the most part, it's that speculative demand that's supporting prices. And that one's a hard one to judge in terms of can they really continue, in some sense, ignore this huge surplus of soybeans we have. Certainly in the short run, that's possible. But it does suggest that if the South American crop comes in as advertised, the U.S. avoids a major weather problem in 06. Appears that there's quite a bit of air under this market right now.
On the corn and the wheat side, and the idea that inflation has played a role in the movement up in both of those marketplaces, would you buy into that? Is there reason, is there hard facts reason to look at it and say, well, in fact, there is inflation that can play a role in those two markets?
I think historically looking at that, you say really not much of a relationship. I know you can make the point that going back to the 1960s and then into the 70s, when we moved into a more rapid inflationary period, commodity prices took a jump up from a dollar corn basically to $2 corn, and we've basically maintained that price level for the last 30 years. But during the last 30 years, inflation has come and gone, and commodity prices, ag prices, generally have reflected their own fundamentals, not short-term inflationary pattern. So I don't buy into that argument, but if people can vote in this market, and if folks think there is a relationship and are buying on that basis, it's real demand. So I think it's a little bit shaky ground, but in the short run, that seems to be what's happening.
That's University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good. There's another 3 minutes of his conversation with me on our website. It's up there now at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. We'll try to bring that extra 3 minutes to you, probably tomorrow or early next week. On the line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is our normal Thursday afternoon analyst, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers are taking heavy advantage of the higher prices over the past couple of weeks for corn and bean sales, new crop and old.
Yeah, we've seen continued movement of corn into the market. Now, it was like things just came to a sudden halt Monday afternoon after the board fell back off, and that pretty much stopped all cash sales at that time. But since we've come back here the last couple of days, we've seen it pick up again.
Primarily old crop or some new crop sales?
I think some of both. On the old crop, the corn base has really been weaker across the board here this week, really 2 to 5 cents lower. And if you looked at what the board did compared to what the bases did, they're really kind of a break-even game until today. And today, you know, now the futures has brought us back up there to where we've had a gain. But until today, the weakness in the bases really kind of offset the higher futures prices.
Did you get a look at the spreadsheets there for what domestic usage was looking like? And I think it was an extra $25 million that ethanol is going to be used. But I think they lowered the exports as well. What do you think about those numbers from USDA?
Well, I'll tell you, the last 3 weeks here on the exports, we've really had one heck of an average. If we could keep these kind of numbers rolling for another month or so, we could maybe start seeing them change the exports back the other way. But I mean, we're right on line right now. The USDA numbers are right about where we should be, the ones that came out this morning here.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn is 207, beans 561.
Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that's Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. If you haven't picked up that phone yet, the number to call, Jay Pierce, is 217-244-9455.
Yep.
Looks like we had a few calls in there.
Tony Watson of Pontiac, thank you for calling and renewing your membership. And Dick Dickerson of Congerville, thanks for becoming a new friend of WILL in support of agriculture. Case Farms of Rosedale, Indiana, thanks for joining as a new member of the Friends of WILL. Well, joining us, a business friend, as it were. And we're just about $4,200 away from that goal. So another $200 in the next couple of minutes, Todd. From our agriculture listeners, 217-244-9455. That'd be like five basic $40 memberships if you want to join as a new friend, or $100. A lot of people like to do that. C-note, 217-244-9455. And we're going to roll under that $4,000 mark toward our goal of hitting $40,000 by the end of the day.
That is very good to hear. We'll check in again with you in a bit. Jay Pierce is your station manager in Pledge Central. He's listening to those phones call in support of Ag. If you've never done this before, it's time now. Boy, we'd like to have all those new friends we could get. 217-244-9455. That's the number to call. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Defense attorneys say former Illinois Governor George Ryan may take the witness stand in his own defense as early as next week. Attorney Dan Webb told the judge at Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial today in Chicago that the final decision on Ryan's testimony will be made next week. The marathon political corruption trial is heading toward the end of its 19th week. Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweihart is expected to be out of the hospital in a few days. A news release from the mayor's office says the mayor is responding very well to treatment and extends the Schweihart family's thanks to everyone who showed their support and concern. Mayor Schweihart underwent surgery on Tuesday, reportedly to have a growth removed from his lung. An arrest warrant in Champaign County against Republican candidate for Governor Andy Martin has been lifted. That clears the way for Martin to participate in a candidates' forum tomorrow night on WILL-TV and AM 580 without risking arrest. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reed says she decided to drop the 1990 warrant on contempt of court charges because it had become a time-consuming waste of county resources. Reed denies Martin's allegation that local judges renewed the warrant to derail his campaign. The Indiana Senate Appropriations Committee is considering Governor Mitch Daniels' highway plan today. Chairman Robert Meek says he wants to remove a provision that would freeze toll rates for residents who live in the counties crossed by the toll road. Meek says that might be unconstitutional. A lot of trials in the Champaign County Courthouse over the next 3 days will be for the same case. The participants are law school students taking part in the regional levels of the National Trial Competition. The U of I College of Law is organizing 13 teams from Illinois and Indiana. Organizer Steve Beckett says the competition gives future litigators valuable courtroom experience. More bald eagles are picking Illinois to call a home. The manager of the Illinois Endangered Species Protection Board says only two eagles' nests were known to be in Illinois in the early 1980s, but now state officials say more than 100 nests have been spotted. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bazdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Keep those phones ringing in support of the ag programming here at WILL. The number to call, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Call in with your pledge of financial support for the radio station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week, including this man, Pete Levitt, who brings us the agricultural programming for weather on Thursday afternoons. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd.
How are things in Massachusetts?
Well, we're getting prepared for a snowstorm this weekend, but it's still a little iffy for us, and so we're having a typical, clear, nice, cool winter day here.
And then here in the Midwest, in Champaign County, we're looking at temperatures closer to normal?
Yeah, well, today, actually, maybe a little above. The temperatures are in the mid to upper 30s, and they're not going to get down much tonight. However, we do have a cold front coming through, that's going to generate a few light snow showers, nothing that'll accumulate much. It's snowing now up across the northern half of Iowa, up into Minnesota, and most of the activity will be to the north. But this will come through. It'll drop temperatures down into the mid-20s tonight and high tomorrow in the low 30s, maybe just getting above freezing, then down to 20 on Sunday and up to maybe near 30 on Sunday afternoon, down to 16 on Monday. up to about freezing again Monday afternoon. So that's the cold news for those first few days, with just a little dusting of snow on the front end. Then it warms up a bit as we get into the latter part of next week.
Any relief for the folks in the Southwest?
No, there is not. The Prog series of the prognostic charts, the forecast maps, keep trying to bring something in the following week all the time. You know, we say beyond the next hill, so to speak. And they can't ever get the forecast right when it goes out beyond 7 days. These are computers, so we can blame them. And instead, they keep having just a little lick and a promise with a few snow flurries and then temperatures on the mild side. It's going to turn colder. Big, massive high coming down the Rockies on its way into the western Gulf of Mexico will ensure fair weather and seasonable temperatures, not very cold there, but it certainly won't be wet, and we don't see any precipitation in sight for them. There's a chance next week, but we could say that every week, and we will believe it when we see it this week and not next week.
And very, very quickly, everything's A-okay in South America?
Yeah, it's still dry in the Argentine. Brazil's on the wet side. The dryness is going to cost them some of their summer crop there, but they only have a few weeks to go before that's finished, and but it is not going to be perfect.
Thanks much. We appreciate it, Pete.
My pleasure, Todd.
Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoon. If you called in today with your pledge of financial support, thank you very much. If not, you still have plenty of time to do that, even if you're listening to us on the web after the fact or as a podcast. The folks are manning those phones at 217-244-9455 24 hours a day. If you're on the website, you can scroll up to the top of the webpage and you can just push pledge. Jay Pierce, how did we do for the half hour?
Actually, it's Dave Dickey.
Oh, hey,
here.
Dave. Different person. How did we do, Dave, for the half hour? I think we did all right. What do you have for us today?
We are 11 calls away from meeting the Ehler Challenge. And Todd, as I was listening to the show today, I thought, you know, it would be really easy to get on the wrong side of the soybean market. But when you listen to Daryl Good and Dan Zwicker, you can't go wrong. 217-244-9455. Consider what AM 580 Agriculture is worth to you. Your contribution right now helps us maintain our 80-year commitment to agricultural radio programming. Your gift does make a difference. The phone lines are open. Now's the time to call 217-244-9455. And we would also like to thank Carolyn Auger of Toledo and Leon Sarr of Piatone and the Prairie Ridge Farm in Allerton, also contributing today to AM 580 Agriculture. 217-244-9455, just 11 phone calls away from meeting the Ehler Challenge, Todd.
Keep those phones ringing. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here, urging you to make that phone call one last time, 217-244-9455. That is the number to call. Be sure you stay with us right here on WILL AM 580 the rest of the afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.